My God, man, she broke the glass next door at Disneyland when she did that. How great thou art. Stand to your feet, praise the Lord. Father, I thank you today and call those things that be not as though they were, that the words from my lips tonight will minister graciously to people, not how I say it, but Lord, that they'll take it home and they'll meditate and concentrate and they'll receive it in the fullness of the way it was spoken. Because you spoke it first, I'm just repeating it. Lord, I thank you in advance and know that people will receive graciously from this message tonight. And Lord, I know they'll leave this great convention. Those that are watching by internet as well as here said, I have not only learned something, but Rhema was spoke to me. And I'll be able to produce it tonight and produce it tomorrow and for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. I want to read some very familiar scripture. Before I read this scripture, I received this message from a statement me and Brother Copeland were talking either 2 or 2.5 years ago. Sometimes, you know, we go on some trips together and we just begin to talk. And boy, I mean, some revelation and things come out. And I love the power of words. And I use this statement as one of the points in this message. And I'll tell you to it in just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I never heard that growing up much in church, whether you were Catholic or Protestant. I heard that God will humble you. God will beat your brains out. You better get your act together. But that says, humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because he's got something on his mind. That he may exalt you in due time. So he's wanting to put you up. So the way to go up is to go down. If you humble yourself, then you arise in life, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. So let me read that again. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then it goes on to say, casting all your care on him. Not on your mama. Not on your daddy. And not on your pastor. Why are you in counseling sessions? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Now, I got a 3-point plan to counseling. Every preacher ought to adopt it. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now, get out of here. Go on your house. Now, you know that don't work very well in a church. So you can say that because you travel a lot. He says, casting all your care on him. Evidently, no one else can handle your care other than him. I think sometimes a lot of ministries get messed up because they listen to a lot of trash they shouldn't be listening to. They get seeded with stuff that needs to never be spoken from someone's lips. Now, I know you can help people. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about that. But what I'm saying is, my God, is when you begin to take that stuff in. I had a minister tell me that he actually messed up in immorality sexually because he had so many ladies telling him about all kinds of stuff that he did not need to know about. After a while, he was kind of interested in it. Now, we laugh at that, but it destroyed his ministry and his family. Because, you see, he couldn't handle that care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So notice, care don't go away by confession. It don't go away by praying. It don't go away by saying. It goes away by casting. You've got to physically throw it away from your mind or whatever is causing you that care. I want to deal with tonight with the cure. Everybody say the cure. Cure. The cure for care. People ask my ministry, my staff, and my wife, is Jesse like that all the time? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because I could care less. That doesn't mean, and let me explain that now, that doesn't mean I'm not concerned about things. Because concerned you should be. That you would not be a very nice person if you wasn't concerned about certain things. But when concern begins to develop into care, now you're getting into disobedience. I've had Bishop Jakes and many, many others, not trying to name names and things. You know, the other day I preached his manpower thing that he had there. And I've done his mega fest and all those things. And he says, every time I turn on television, I see you. I say, you should. Why? It's my calling. That's what I do. And then he said, what do you do when you get those big television bills, Jesse? I said, that's easy. Jesus, you got mail. This yours. This ain't mine. I could care less. That's not my business. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When Hurricane Katrina came to town, I mean, if I'd have took on that burden, it'd have destroyed me. But I didn't. Because, see, a leader's got to stand up when everything's going wrong, and he better say something, or she better say something, and you got to move and do something instead of say, oh my, what we gonna do? You got to be a decision machine if you're a leader of something. A decision makes a choice, and a debate makes a discussion. You don't need to debate something when something needs to get done, especially if you're the head of something and you have the power to move it toward an end result. I want to deal with the cure for care. Now, let me get down there a little bit. I got two pulpits. I don't know which one to go to. Which one do I look the tallest? All right. Let me go down. Glory to God. Yeah, this is glorious, Cope. Yeah, this is, it's short. This is a blessing. I like it. I've just grown 3 inches here, praise God. Now, let me say it again. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Notice him. Only God can handle your care. Now, here's the statement that Brother Kenneth Copeland spoke to me. We were talking, and he said something, and it went off in me like a shotgun. He said, Jesse, never function under the burden of a care. And that's all he said. He got off of it. Well, I went out. I mean, I went to percolating on me. So I wrote that down, and I went home. And I said, Lord, you wanting to tell me something about this. And the biggest problem people have today in ministry and out of ministry or just living is the word care. Caretakers. You worry about yourself, worry about your parents as they get older. You see what I'm saying? He said, don't function under the burden of a care. Well, I wrote that down and I got in my study and began to just let that meditate and concentrate on that. Now, this has been 2 years or better, two and a half years, something like that. And then I said, Lord, he said, yes, don't function under the burden of a care. I said, why? I want to know why. He said, it's a form of pride. Write that down if you're taking notes. Don't function under a burden of a care. It's a form of pride. You saying God can't handle your business, so you decided to take it for yourself, and you delaying what you need an answer to. Because if God can't do it, you certainly can't do it. So when you function under the burden of a care, it becomes a form of pride. You saying God can't handle your business when God can do all things if you just let him. You see what I'm saying? It's a form of pride. Now, when you begin to understand that, you'll understand why some of the people messed up in the scriptures. Jesus did a phenomenal thing when he chose the Apostle Peter, or the Catholics call him the first pope, to head off. He was the head of the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. Now, as of the 12, bless God, he put him the head of that thing. But you see, something happened to Peter. Now, Peter was a robust type of Christian man. I mean, you got to understand, he wasn't educated. Now, he would cuss you and cut you at the same time. You could tell he was Pentecostal. Pentecostal people just nail you to the wall sometimes. They'll repent and cry, but they'll cut you in a second. And don't get mad at me. I'm a Pentecostal. But I'm saying, I mean, my Lord Jesus. I mean, he was robust. Well, when Jesus went before Pilate and Caiaphas and all those people, Peter took on the burden of the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. He took on the care of that thing and messed up with one of the greatest sins that anyone has ever committed. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And the last time he denied, he said something so God-awful. He said, you can read it in your scripture, I neither know nor understand the man. Nah, buddy, he said, I don't know him and I don't understand him. Now, what made him do that? And you know, that was a God-awful sin, which messed up Jesus' whole plan for us. Because Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That's exactly what the Apostle Peter, or Pope Peter, did. He denied Jesus before men. So all of a sudden, Jesus don't have nobody to head his ministry. And he's already died. Now think about that. So the whole thing is in disarray. Notice at the resurrection, Jesus said, when he came back, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He didn't say John, Matthias, Bartholomew, Philip. No, Peter. Why? Because Peter messed up. Bad. Jesus had to do something. Because now he doesn't have a leader of his ministry. Because this guy takes on the care of the ministry. And he messes up. Totally. And he denies Jesus before men. Let me say it again. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. See, he was functioning under the burden of the care of that ministry because of the crucifixion of Christ. Yet Jesus told him, I'm going to be back in 3 days. But that just seemed to go over their head. Now, what happened was when Jesus came back, many of you know this, when Jesus saw Peter and walked with him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Or King James, lovest thou me? However you want to get it in your mind, you know. You know, some people think Jesus spoke in King James and Moses spoke in whatever. Who knows? Do you love me? Or do you, Peter? Hey, Peter, come here. Do you love me? And Peter said, Yeah, Lord, I love you. Yeah, I do. He said, feed my sheep. Why did he say that? Because love is action. You can tell somebody you love them all day long, but if you don't show it to them, they don't know it. You got love as an action. Love is doing something for someone. And you know, but that wasn't enough. He asked him again, Peter, come here, come here, Peter, come here. And you know, Peter, he get aggravated real easy. What? What? You love me? Yeah, Lord, don't worry about that. I got it. I love you. Well, look, feed my sheep. Okay, I got it, Jesus. I got it. Okay, Peter, what? What? We got a problem here? What? Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Now, many of you know this. Why did he ask him 3 times? To cancel out the 3 denials. You see, when he canceled out the 3 denials, he got back his leader of the band. Now he was able to introduce Peter to the Father God. Before that, he could not introduce Peter because if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So all of a sudden he got his leader back and he canceled the evidence. And as I said earlier, the church world hates it when God cancels evidence. Oh, some people mess up bad. God just canceled the evidence. Boy, church get mad about that. He puts in the sea of forgetfulness, but Christians never forget their scuba gear. You know, they got to go down there and find out what you did. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they're swimming in that sea. Well, bless God. But see, they hate it when God cancels evidence. Go ahead. If you're going to, don't just do one, for God's sake. I could care less, but you know. So watch this. If you function under the burden of a care, it's a form of pride. So I don't deal with care. You see me smiling, I love glory to God. Why? I cannot generate enough finance to operate my ministry, so I don't. I got $60 million worth of projects looking me in the face right now. $60 million liquid. And I made up my mind to do it all by cash. People say, how you going to do that? I could care less. You see, most ministries and people have been infected with a disease called Philippitis. Especially ministers. Lord, they got Philippitis all over them. It happened from the apostle Philip. Jesus walked up to Philip one day and said, Phil, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, Philip's Pentecostal. Pentecostals want to know how much something going to cost. Because they Pentecostals. You understand? Don't shout me down. I'm not against Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal. Now, watch this. Yeah, sweat that boy. Hold up. He said, hey, when shall we buy bread and these meat? Philip goes, Jesus, good God. You ain't going to try to feed these people. Because they'll go to offering for the next last 6 weeks. We ain't going to have a dime left. He said, Jesus, come here. Come here. Jesus, my God, listen, listen. If you spent 200 penny worth of person, not everybody gets some. And if they did, they might just get a little. Jesus did not ask Philip to calculate how much it costs to feed the crowd. He just said, where the stove? Where is the stove? Where do we get the bread? There's somebody around here selling bread. Where do we get some bread? All he asked. But see, Philip, he's a minister thinking, geez, how are we going to pay for this? When God told me to believe for my plane, I'll never forget it. When God told me to believe for an intercontinental jet, he told me that when I was driving a Toyota and I couldn't fill it up and gas was 55 cents a gallon. I couldn't fill up the Toyota at 55 cents a gallon. How am I ever going to fill up a plane? I said, God, he said, Jesse, this set me free. Jesse, come here. I didn't ask you to buy it. I didn't ask you to pay for it. I just asked you to believe for it. See, in my mind, I was infected with Philippitis. I took on the care of a good Lord. Can I put a Toyota engine in it? How can I cut that? He didn't ask me to pay for it. He just asked me to believe for it. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They take on the care of that thing and they struggle and it shuts them down because they're functioning under that burden of that care, which is a form of pride. Do you see that? And that's what caused Peter to fall. And if it caused him to fall, it'll cause you to fall. So write this down if you're taking notes. Carrying care with weak hands is sure a failure. Carrying care with weak hands is sure failure. But if you want to fail, just take on the care of your ministry or your life. You're going to have to humble yourself. And that's not an easy thing to do. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, when he exalts you, what happens? Why does trouble come to you when you start getting exalted? You ever wonder about that? God starts blessing you. My God, man, all of a sudden, wham, you just get hit. Because promotion from God brings satanic attention. He couldn't see you before because you're like a crowd. But all of a sudden, when you start lifting up, who that boy? What's he doing? You see, I never struggled going on television. And I'll tell you why, because I could care less. See, the devil couldn't believe that I could ever go on television because, you see, he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. He knew I couldn't fill up that Toyota at 55 cents a gallon. How am I ever going on television, much less believe for a plane? So he didn't fight me. Devil's a flesh devil. He didn't fight me. He never fought me one time going on television because he didn't believe I could do it. I was agreeing with him myself. I didn't believe I could do it neither for several years. To find, I said, I'm gonna quit believing with the devil and start believing with God. And he never fought me to go on television. I have never struggled paying a television bill. Every station I'm on, everyone is in the black over and above and beyond. Somebody shout, somebody. And let me tell you why. Yeah, not because I got great faith, because the devil didn't believe I could do it. So he didn't fight me. He went, wait a minute, he's doing it, but it's too late now. Nah, 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 nah. It's too late now. Do you see my point? People say, well, you were? No. Well, I could care less. Because let me tell you something about television. It destroys all your privacy. I went today to get something at a mall. I had to get something. And I had to go to the bathroom. It just kind of hit me, you know. You know. Y'all got the revelation right there. I can tell, boy, you go, do, 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 do. I go in there, and somebody said, are you in that store back there, Brother Jesse? I said, no. That's all I'm going to say about that. Say, was you worried about it? I could care less. Carrying your care with weak hands is sure failure. Now, he says, I want to tell you something. I'm not talking about being concerned. You need to be concerned because that's called love. But when it begins to develop that, it becomes a burden to you. And then all of a sudden you grab it and you hang on to it. Now you're functioning under that thing. It's actually a form of pride. You see. Now, some of you can't understand why you're not getting the answers to your prayers. You think you got a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief, and that's simply not true. You just may be carrying a load of care that you didn't realize. Write this down. Keeping your care produces a division of faith between God and yourself. If you want separation between you and God, just keep the care. Because actually, it's the sin of disobedience. It's called missing the mark. Sin means missing the mark. Let me say it again. Keeping your care produces a division of faith between God and yourself. So when God tells me to do the impossible and to believe for the unbelievable, then I say, okay. And people say, is it hard? No, not if you're not caring care. Now, here's where the pressure comes. Let me use something like a project or something. Have you got it yet? 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 See, what people don't realize, you begin to think, have you got it yet? When you going to get it? When you going to get it? See, now you're starting to take that on. Because see, after a while, you go, yeah, man, I got to do something. So all of a sudden, you start coming up with financial plans that God didn't tell you to do. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Before you know it, you're selling babies. You're doing everything you can, Lord Jesus. We'll give you this baby for $100 if you just help us today. You get on there, won't you help me, Jesus? Won't you help me? Lord, help me. If I don't hear from you today, we're going off. Well, when will you go off so I can buy that time? Just go on to the house. I don't mean that to sound rudely. You understand what I'm saying? After a while, now you're producing things that you shouldn't do. You see, because you've taken on the care. And eventually, and a lot of ministers are in the grave today because of carrying care when they could have done much better in their ministry. But you see, people put pressure on. You got it yet? You got it. When we were believing God for our plane, you got it yet? You got it yet? You got it yet? Even Kathy told me, you got it yet? When are we going to get this thing? I said, it's here. It's already been done. It's just got to manifest. Well, when? Oh, and I'd go home and go, huh, huh. And she wasn't being mean to me. She'd go, come on. I want to close this project. Well, so do I. The first day I thought of it, I wanted to close. But you know what? You see, I said, no. I said, I'll tell you what. You'll see it when I see it. Now, she wasn't being mean, but I mean, just common sense. People write, well, we've been believing for years. Me and Brother Colton were believing for these planes for I don't know how many years. Lord, just believing. You got it? Yeah, it's coming. You got it? Yeah, it's coming. And we believe it was coming. But boy, the pressure. And if I'd have took on that care, I'd have quit. I'd have said, it ain't coming. You see my point? That's carrying care with weak hands. You see what I'm saying? Now, the best way to carry it is to cast it off, is to become humble. I've had people get so mad at me because I wasn't worried. Aren't you going to worry? No. Well, what kind of man are you? I could care less. Well, I just don't think much of you. Well, you probably didn't anyway, so it didn't make no difference. Ain't going to change it. Aren't you going to do this? No, I ain't doing that. Why? Because God didn't tell me to do that. Well, maybe you're not listening. All kinds of stuff. They're going to nail you to the wall. And if you take on that stuff, you may go do something that God did not call you to do at all. You ever seen people move ministries around trying to find the place that God told them to go? They go to California. Then they go to Dallas. Then they go to New York. You know how much money it costs to move a ministry? You're talking big money, man. Just in your envelopes. Just in your mail correspondence. You got to change everything. Well, you know, what they're looking for is good weather. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for something. They're looking for good. They don't care what God sent them. Oh, we're going to go over there. Now, you see me, I was born and raised in New Orleans. People ask me all the time, have you lived in New Orleans all your life? Not yet. Has God spoke to you about something? I don't know. Not yet. No. Now, I was born and raised in New Orleans. I love New Orleans, but I like New Orleans. But I've been wanting to move. The only reason I'm back in New Orleans is because of Kathy Duplantis. When Jody was born, she said, I want to go home so my mama, so she can know her grandma. I said, she don't need to know her grandma. I know her grandma. She don't need to know her grandma. I said that to her. You know, I don't want her knowing her grandma. I don't like her grandma. You understand? But that's another thing. That's before I saved and all that. But we moved back to North. I wanted to go to Texas. I've always liked cowboy boots and cows. I can't do nothing with a cow, but I sure like them. One time on a Dallas-Fort Worth Turnpike. I'd done smoked enough dope. I took a trip. Boy, and I had left my house several times that I hadn't left yet. And I had to find Kathy, and I was gone in a Texas I was driving on, they don't have it now, but they had a Dallas-Fort Worth turnpike, I think. And there was some grass and a pasture. And I stopped. And man, I was three sheets to the wind. I was high. Whoo, I threw my hat down. It took a long time for it to hit the ground. That's how high I was. And I watched that cow eat the, some of y'all are a little slow, but you'll get it. Glory to God. And I watched that cow eating that, he eating the, what they call it, the curd, whatever call that thing. What is that thing called? A curd, something. A loogie. That's what I call it, a loogie. Just some trashy stuff. I don't know what it is. What they call that thing? The cud. Yeah, I don't know. Something. Man, that cow go. Now, man, you on dope. I'm going, wow, man. And he swallowed it. I went, what's up? I said, whoa, man. And a policeman come over there. He said, what are you doing? I said, you ever seen a cow eat grass? He looked at me, took his chalk, put it on the side. He said, walk that line. I said, not till you put a net under it. That's loaded, buddy. I was loaded. Do you know that cop did not arrest me? He should arrest me. He said, listen, boy, stay on the shoulder. Now, Texas got big shoulders. Texas shoulders is an interstate in Louisiana. You understand what I'm saying? It's an interstate in Louisiana. Hey, I'm surprised he let me go. Boy, man, when I finally got Kathy about 3 hours late, you were supposed to be here last night. Huh? I said, you should have seen this cow eat grass. But she could care less. Takes a while. You'll get there. Keeping your care produces a division of faith between God and yourself. See, and I had to stop and tell you something funny because you was waiting on it. I can tell. Like, say something funny. Okay. That helps you. But it's the funny part is to get the point to what you're doing. Because when you've got a lot of care, it ain't funny. When you're struggling and hurting. So I tell people in my ministry, well, what are we going to do? Well, we ain't going to do anything except believe God. We've done all we can do to stand. We standing. Now, people don't like it when you're just standing. What you doing? Standing. Having done all the stand? Standing. Yeah, but what you doing? What's the matter? You need healing for your ears? I'm standing. Yeah, but what you doing? Standing. I know you're standing, but what you doing? Fool, I'm standing. That's what I'm doing. God told me to stand. Aren't you going to do more than that? No, he didn't add nothing to it. He just said stand. Having done all the stand, stand. Now you see, that pressure is coming for you to take on the care of that thing. And before you know it, you delay your answer further and further down the road. Because all God told you to do was just stand. Just stand. But people put the pressure on you. And you figure you got to come up with something. People don't like it when preachers say things like that. A lady asked me one time about something in Scripture. She says, what do you think about that? I said, I don't know. She said, what do you mean you don't know? I said, well, do you know? She said, no, I don't know. I said, then we both don't know. I don't know. I said, you think I know everything? I don't know everything. But I know you don't know, and I know I don't know. But I know who knows. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So let's go pray about that. So I don't mind telling people the truth. Where did Cain get his wife? I'm glad he got one. I don't know. I don't care. Better than marrying a gorilla. Hey, you got a wife. Leave that to God. Leave that to God and everybody else. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. Maybe she looked like a gorilla. I don't know. That don't make no difference. What good is that going to help you with to start with? I mean, well, you know. Which brings me to the next point. To cast our care on him. God, not no one else, is to make his will the guide and measure of ours. His will be done on earth. I'll be dealing with that tomorrow, but I'm dealing with care tonight. To cast our care on him is to make his will the guide and measure of ours. And I've never been to the throne in my life where God said, Jesse, we are sweating it out of here, buddy. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to do something. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do. Have you ever, wouldn't you be shocked if you said, God, I need some help. Well, you're on your own, Jack. Hey, I don't help enough people. I've had enough of this. I'm thinking about killing the whole place and starting over. Whoa, God, what's your problem? No, that would freak you out, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? People want answers. They don't want, I don't know. They don't want a shrug of a shoulder. They want an answer. And you know, I think they deserve an answer. Don't you think so? I think they deserve an answer. So, to cast our care on Him is to make His will the guide and measure of ours. So, I mean, you know, I know sometimes myself, I may sound arrogant and prideful when it's not, I'm not a prideful person or arrogant, but I am, I have assurance and confidence. See, I know in whom I have believed. I know. I'm believing God for something totally, completely unbelievable. I mean, majorly, 14 satellites, $6 billion. I done had meetings in Wall Street. I'm serious, man. I'm moving on this thing. Okay, I had $100 billion sitting at a table with me. That's nice. That's just totally unbelievable. Just crazy. Yeah. And people, and they say, well, how you can do that? I don't know. The Lord began to deal with me about that. I mean, you know, I got to thinking, why am I paying ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, PBS, all the Christian satellites? Wait a minute. If I had my own satellites, then I could sell time to ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. Oh, a cell phone company. They need that, yeah. You know, and how do I do all this? How do I put this all together? Because I'm not that smart, but God is. You see, because it's very important. It's fact. More important to hear God's voice outside the church than it is to hear it inside. Why? Because the wealth of the wicked is not inside the church. It's outside the church that you got to get it inside. But see, you trying to get it on the inside, it ain't here. It's on the outside. So when I talk to some of these people, they said, Reverend, we interested in that. What can we do for you? I said, nothing. Nothing? Nothing. I said, I hadn't got it all together. When you get together, let's talk about that. And I thought, what are you doing, Lord? He said, just completing what I said. Now, it's impossible. People say, well, that's impossible. It was impossible to get the first plane. It was impossible to get the second plane. It's impossible to get the third plane we had. Lord, everything we've ever done was impossible. It was impossible for me to get saved. It was impossible. First, I didn't want to be saved. No matter how much Kathy wanted me to save, I said, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I like hell. Do you understand? I am made for hell, girl. Don't pray for me. You're just wasting words. I like sin. I like smoking dope. And you know. I don't want to get over that. That's getting over too close to this. I did. She'd just keep praying tongues over me when I'm trying to sleep. That's the most aggravating thing. To a sinner? For somebody to go, what you trying to start an outboard motor? What is this? I mean, what are you doing? I don't want that. Get your hand off me, woman. Now, if you want to touch me, talk to me, Mama. I'll tell you what now. Hey, you don't do that. What she's saying is, I'm going to get you saved. It irritated me to no end. I said, I don't want to be saved. And I would cuss it. I would do everything. But she didn't take on that care. She said, you're just stupid. Now, that'd make me mad. Stupid. Woman, I bought you your first pair of shoes. Woman, what are you talking about? Just about. I said, my God, we're stupid. I said, my God, your mama making $25 a week. I'm putting $13,000 a week in your hand. You ain't never seen that in your life. You're just stupid. You're going to hell with your eyes wide open, you stupid thing. Oh, but I didn't want to hit her. I thought about hitting her. I didn't want to hit her because a man don't hit a woman. Somebody applaud over that. A man don't hit a woman. You don't do that. I don't care if you're a sinner or a Christian. You don't do that. She'd pray. Just pray. Trying to sleep, could feel her little fingers coming across the sheet. I said, oh, here we go with the outboard motor. Oh, Lord. She said, I'm going to kill you tonight. I know. But it's the truth. But I could care less. It was her assignment in her mind to get me born again. Then she got a little help from her mama. My mama, not her mama. Her mama going to hell just like I was. Her mama. My mama. Oh, yeah. Me and Irene would have went to hell. They had to do a new compartment. We were some sinners, boy. True. But she just kept, well, I think she knew. And then after I got born again, she said, I believe the Lord's going to call you. Woman, I don't have a phone. You understand? I don't want a phone. I ain't preaching it. You living in a dream world. Yeah, but dreams became realities. Dreams have no expiration dates. Now, I want to ask this question. Thank you. I want to ask this question. How did care get so big? Because it's big, man. Let's just face it. Care is big. How did care get so big? Write this down. Care is established by estimating things from your point of view. Write that down. How did care get so big in your life? Whether spiritual, physical, financial, whatever. Care is established by estimating things from your point of view. See, when you begin to estimate from your point of view, you'll never get high enough to get over that point of view. When the devil throws things in my mind, do you know I get some ugly thoughts? Can you believe it? I'm talking some trashy junk. But you know what I do? I go, that's not my thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 kicks in. See, when you know the word, casting down that imagination. And every high, because it's an imagination, that's all it is. Casting down that imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's not my thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, and pure. That's not lovely, just, good, report, and pure, and virtue. That's not my thought. Satan, you have no right to enter into the soulless realm of who I am. But see, you have to use the word of God on that. Now, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5, turn to that, look at it. It says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You couldn't mess up that verse to save your soul. You can do it backwards. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ by casting down all imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That is one of the most powerful verses God's ever placed in the repertoire of weaponry that he has given us for the soulless realm of who we are. Did I say that? Lord Jesus, man, that's good, isn't it? I'm going to buy this tape myself. I like this. You can't mess that verse up. You can't. You can't. So care is established by estimating things from your point of view. And it doesn't have anything to do with your point of view. It's what God said concerning you. You see, so when those things come in my mind, I go, no, that's not mine. That's not mine. And you know, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? White-headed old. I'm telling you what. Some of these girls, I could be their daddy. They think I got money. They're right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy's money. I ain't work. You think I'm going to throw away my life and my ministry for some hussy? Are you living in a dream world? I work too hard for what I got. And I'm content to work. And besides, I fell in love. I've had somebody say, well, I've fallen out. I said, well, fall back in. See, love's not a feeling. Now, it feels good, but it's more than a feeling. And it doesn't have to do with that body, because as you get older, that body goes south on you. You know it does. But thank God for Beverly Hills. You can suck it up tight behind your head and no one know the difference. Thank God for Beverly Hills, California. See. Some of you people think that woman's got that's a ponytail? No, that's all that skin from years. I said she tied back there. Tie that baby back up, son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I looked at myself this morning. I mean, I said, man, it's getting a little loose. Look at this. It's getting a little loose. Lord Jesus. I was shaving this morning. This cheek caught in my razor. Boom, boom, boom. Lord Jesus. I said, I got to go get this fixed here. Hallelujah. Bear is putting on my mic. I said, you know, watch it. Don't put it too high because this thing will just. Just scratched the fire out of it. But you know what? I could care less. I could care less. That made no difference to me. So care got big by estimating things from your point of view. And when the Lord began to deal with me about this satellite thing, I said, whoo! And I went, I cast down that imagination. Okay. Now, God, I don't know how to do this. He said, well, good, then you can't make a mistake. Because if you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake because you don't know what you're doing. How'd you like to have God tell you that? He said, now you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. I said, all right. Write this down. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. The problem with the world today is a lack of principle. In the ministry, in the political field. Principles. Let me say it again. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. You know what stops me from committing adultery? Principle. I read about a young man named Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? You know what stops me from stealing money? Principle. You know why I keep my word? Principle. If you're not a person of principle, you're in bad shape. You know why I believe in God Almighty? Principle. He's a God of principles. You see what I'm saying? That's why, you know what makes a friend? Principles. Principle. A friend sticketh closer than a brother, than a family member. Family will stick you in a second. But a true friend, they may disagree with what you say, but they're going to be your friend. I believe I can say this. And Jerry Savelle, my friend. Jerry and Carolyn, Brother Copeland said, I think if I called you, I'd say, Jerry, my friend, man. And Brother Copeland, I call Gloria and go, hey, Jess. And I can rely on them. They know they can rely on me. And you don't find many friends in life. And you know what? And Keith and Phyllis, too. We call it low-maintenance friends. You know what low-maintenance friends is? Low-maintenance is you might not see each other for a year, and you just pick up where you left off. High-maintenance is, how come you didn't call me? How come you came to town, but you didn't come to my house? Is that the truth? That's the most aggravating thing you ever seen in your life. But see, we got low-maintenance. I may not talk to Gloria. I may not talk to Kenneth, Brother Copeland. And all of a sudden, I'll go, they go, hey, why don't you come on over? It may be months. Serious. Because all of us are busy running, preaching, running. I mean, there's been times we've all been in the air at the same time. I call it preachers in the sky. Preachers in the sky with diamonds. Hey! Hallelujah. Well, look at these old ex-rockers out here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Watch it. I mean, we're low maintenance. That's wonderful. But you hate it when you have high maintenance people. Yeah. You know why? They make you care. They put you under a burden. How come you came to California, you didn't come to see me? How many of you have had that happen? It's not that you didn't want to, but you were on a mission somewhere. You're doing something, you know. We hadn't seen Keith and Phyllis in quite a while, you know, they didn't brand he fly, but we saw, and we just picked up like, because the last time I was at their place, you know, and boy, they just treat us like kings. Well, we are kings, so they treat us like kings. They just bless, and we just picked up where we left off, boom. And I like the way Keith, you know, Brother Jesse, why don't you come on over to Branson here? Like the way he kind of left. He said, I'm going to kill you, Jesse, I'm going to kill you. I love Keith Moore. Because I like to listen to what he says. He says good stuff. I like to watch him eat. I wish I could eat like him. Tell you what. Man. And he's strong. And me, I got yellow fat all over me. That yellow fat. He ain't got no fat with me. I said, Lord Jesus. I looked at my belly button used to be round. You ought to see that baby. She frowned now. She just frowned. She just frowns. I don't know what y'all laughing at. Y'all are frowning right now, too. Just took a shower a while ago and leaned over. My belly button so deep, water fell out. Just irritated me. But you know what? I could care less. I know where I'm at. I may be in left field, but I'll come back to home plate. Your words must never be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. Why? Why is that? Faith in God will produce faith in man and in yourself. Let me tell you where you need faith more than any other place: within yourself. Because when you truly have faith in yourself, then you have no more selfishness. Because, see, God gave you that. Now you know how to operate and function in that. Faith in God will produce faith in man and in yourself. Now, this is the most important thing I'm going to say in this whole lesson. Write it down. Casting all your care on God is life's greatest lesson. It's life's greatest lesson. It's to cast that care upon Him. That's right. Casting your care upon God is life's greatest lesson. He's the only one that can handle it. Only one. He's the only one. And it can't. And you don't pray it away, and you don't confess it away. You cast it. You have to get. You got to get, because this thing will get on you. And some of the greatest people in the world will put it on you, and they don't even realize they're doing it. They're not doing it on purpose. It just. And then if you don't care, they go, "Oh, you're just so cruel." No. I'm not. Care is a sin. He said, "Cast your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you." Nothing wrong with being concerned. When my daughter was growing up, I'll never forget. I mean, you know, Kathy more or less raised Jody. When she was born, I was a rocker in the rock world, and I was traveling all the time. And I've traveled most of my adult life. And so when, you know, Jody was born, you know, she got to go to school and all that kind of stuff. So make a long story short, Kathy stayed home with Jody, and I'd come in on the weekends, you know, and I'd be there a day and a half, and I was gone again. Jody understood it. Kathy really took care of her. But I got nervous when she got about 10, 11 years old. She started developing. I mean, all of a sudden, my little girl went away. And I said, "What is this?" And I saw this little boy next door doing this. I said, "You want something, boy?" "Oh, no, Mr. Jacob." I thought, whoa, she's growing up. This is not easy. Now, what do I got to do here? And you sure can't suppress her, because she's growing up. But then you can't let her go crazy. There was a boy came to my house one time. Boy, I was an ugly boy. Lord Jesus. His head looked like a hatchet. God's my witness. He like this, his head looked that way. He looked like a fish. When he looked at that boy, I was an ugly boy. I say, he ain't getting in this family. I met him at the door. He said, "Is Jody here?" I said, "Yeah, can I see?" I said, "No." I said, "You got to go, boy. Get out of here. Go swim in another ocean. You ain't coming here." I just told him to his face. "Now you got to protect your children." Jody come down the stairs. "Daddy, was that for me?" I said, "No, that was not for you. That was not for you, boy. Not that." See, I didn't want her to become like me. See, I could remember my past, but God couldn't. I said, "Boy, if that girl do what I did, I'll have to kill her." "No, you can't kill her." God, I started taking that on. I said, "Now, Kathy, you better watch that girl." And then I realized, wait a minute. Man, I ain't going to confess this thing down on my daughter. Because, you know, we trained her right. We taught her right. She's a good person. But I checked them boys out because I used to be a boy. I mean, I know what a boy thinks like. Hormones kick up on you when you least expect it. Boom! And girl, believe all that trash, you know. They believe all that. I really believe that women are smarter than men, but not when it comes to emotion. Boy, you just look them in the eyes. Women love eyes. Why do they love eyes so much? You know, it was King David's problem. The Bible said he had beautiful eyes. Do you know that's in Scripture? He had beautiful eyes. Women love, they say, just look at me. Just let me look at my eye. Women love eyes. Men don't care if you're blind. Care if you're blind. You're putting lotion on your elbows. You can bone can stick out your arm. Men don't care about your elbows. He got other things in his mind. I ain't never had a guy say, did you see that girl's elbows? Never in my entire life. Worry about them being dry, cracked. Man, don't care about that. You could drag them on behind a pickup truck with no skin on. That ain't no different, no man. So I turned that over to the Lord and Kathy. And when it came time for Jody to get married, I married her. It was just a blessing. I mean, it was just really wonderful to see that. It was great. And my son-in-law is a great man. He really is. He's a blessing. Hard worker. Love the Lord with all his heart. Hard worker, boy. I like a hard worker. He don't ask me for nothing. I mean, he's a worker, boy. And she is, too. Both of them. And that's such a blessing. So we grew up without having to have that care in our lives. Now, write this down. I'm going to close with this because I could go a long, long time. Our Christian faith is not simply a body of doctrines. It's a provision of grace. Let me say it again. When God said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him. Our Christian faith is not simply a body of doctrines. It's a provision of grace. See, when I realized what grace would do, now I'm not talking about sloppy grace. I'm not talking about just because you got grace means you're going to sin more. No, God forbid. But you see, most people are so indoctrinated that it causes people never to see who God is. They see more of the laws, the do's and the don'ts, more than they see the Creator and what he has done in life. There's a wonderful scripture in Matthew 11, verse 30. If you want to turn to it, turn to that. Are y'all enjoying this tonight? I just kind of want to do a little teaching tonight. Look, Brother Copeland spoke that statement to me. It's been percolating all these years. A couple of years, two and a half, something like that. Don't function under the burden of a care. It's a form of pride. Now, I added it's a form of pride, but I thought, yeah, why? Because it's a form of pride. Now, Matthew 11, verse 30, I'm going to just read one piece of it. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, is it in red what I just read? He said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I never heard that growing up in church. I heard if you get saved, you get ready. The devil will beat you, bust you, stomp you, kick your brains out. If you hang on to the end, you'll make it. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. What are you saying? I'm saying heavy yokes of life cease to rub and press against you when God bears them. I've had ministers get mad at me because I haven't been through some of the trouble they've been through. And why is that? Because I'm better than them? No, because they told me not to do that, and I listened. I just obeyed. Boy, I don't do that, okay? And then, how come you don't seem to go through all that? Well, I listened. When Brother Copeland prophesied under the anointing of God that 2007 would be the year of the open door, I said, well, the year of an open door is a year of heaven. My God, man, because there's no hindrance. And that when God opens, no man closes. When God closes, no man opens. I thought, well, Lord, I won't believe that. Yeah. Why? Well, because of him? Yeah, because I know him. And number two, because God said it through him. And the statement. I don't have to fight that. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't fought me. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't tried to hinder me. But I'll tell you one thing, I pay no attention to them. I'm going about my business. And every time I've ever sinned, I've never sinned in my spirit. I just sin in the flesh. But if I crucify my flesh daily instead of Sunday, then I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then it dawned on me about sin. You never sin by yourself. Do you know that? You never sin by yourself. You got a devil there causing you to sin. The Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin hath conceived or birthed or finished, it bringeth forth death. You never sin by yourself. That's why sin's so powerful, because two of you are agreeing. Think about that for a minute. See, why did God make a plan of redemption for you, but he didn't make a plan of redemption for Satan? He sinned. Satan sinned. I said, well, why didn't you make a plan of redemption for him? But you made a plan of redemption for me, and he was your praise angel. He said, he willfully sinned. I said, well, I willfully sinned. He said, no, you haven't. I said, yeah, I have. He said, no, you haven't. I was arguing with God. I said, have you forgot? I have done some things you told me not to do. He said, no, you haven't. I said, yeah, I have. I said, Lord, you've told me to do something, and I totally disobeyed you. Isn't that willful sin? He said, no, I didn't. I said, well, what is it? He said, it was sin. You asked me to forgive you. He said, but you never sinned by yourself. He said, you know why I never, ever, ever, ever made a plan of redemption for Satan? I said, yeah. Would you answer that? He said, well, first thing first, every time you sinned, you had a tempter. Somebody pulling you to sin. He said, Satan didn't have a tempter. He never had any of that. He said, I will exalt myself of the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of North. He never was tempted to fall or sin. He simply willfully sinned. And God said, if you willfully sin, there remain no remission of sin or remission for you. You see, but you, every time you sin, you had a tempter, something pulling you to disobey. You think about that. See, that's why Satan fell. Because it was willful. There was no one, no tempter. He didn't have a tempter, but you do. That's why sin's so powerful, because two of you agree to do it. That's why faith is so powerful, because two of you agree to do it. Do you see that? So when you understand that heavy yokes of life cease to rub and press against you when God bears them, so your cross is lightened, now I understand my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because I've cast the care of it on him. Now, this is my last statement. The little word all, he said, casting all your care. The little word all includes even the trivial and passing anxieties of each day. The little word all. You have to give it all to him. If you don't, you're going to live a life of Christian frustration. I don't care if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You better turn that care over to God, because it will kill you and you will not complete your destiny or reach your destination. And if you keep pulling it out of God's hands, it's a form of pride. And it's very hard not to pull it out of God's hands. And you know why it's very hard not to pull it out of God's hands? Because within you is the power to have dominion. Now, whether you use it or not is your choice. You see, he gave you dominion over all the works of his hands, which means he put you in a class that an angel's not in. He's never given that to any angel or the wheel within the wheel or anybody. He only gave it to man. So immediately we'll reach out and try to grab something that we gave to God. We'll take it, because you see, that dominion is still running us. That's what makes a baby do what it does. A baby, some people say, that kid's just rebellious. When did you teach that child to do that? Well, you didn't. But that baby said, might. That's dominion. That's that gift. I give you dominion. And the baby can't seem to understand, what's your problem? Give it to me. Now, if you don't teach that baby how to handle that, it turns into rebellion. That's that child saying that. Do you know who I am? And I mean, they'll be 9 months old, look at you in that little face like. You've seen it happen. And I used to think, that kid, no, that's dominion. But if you're not training them right, stubbornness is born in the heart of a child. See, it'll go into stubbornness. You have to train the child the way it's supposed to be trained. But I can see that gift. And I love a baby that'll make a decision at a year old. They got somebody. I'll tell you one thing. They already know what they want. But if you don't train them, then they become bad kids. And as you go through life, if you're not trained, you'll become a bad adult. And then if you train and then you don't accept the training, you become a stupid adult. And then everybody else is wrong and you right. And that's simply not true. You see. So, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Okay. That he may exalt you in due time. Oh, I'm coming up. Casting all your care. Why are you coming up? Because there's no weight now holding you down. For he careth for you. So, a lot of times people get mad when I say that. I say, the Lord loved Jesse. Oh, Lord. He can't help himself. He loves me. He likes to talk to me. I'm knowing I'll deal with this tomorrow. I tell you what, my throne time with the Lord is amazing. I'm telling you, you talk about conversation. Oh, man. I have some wonderful time. Woo. I'll say something sound arrogant. I've had God come talk to me about certain things he was going to do. He said, what do you think about it? God is my witness, it's the truth. Now, I ain't no better than anybody in here. But you know what? I remember 1974 when I got born again. And then I got out of the music business. It took me, what, 4.5, 5 months. I was under union contracts. I couldn't leave. And when I came home, I said, God, I need a friend. He said, I do too. I said, can we become friends? He said, I need a friend, Jesse. I said, maybe I'm going to pray wrong. I don't know. Can I just talk to you the way I would talk to a friend? Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. So I developed something more than relationship. I developed fellowship. That's called throne time. And there's been time when the Lord said, you know, I need to talk to you. I said, about what? Nothing. 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 How you doing? How you doing? I said, I'm doing fine, God. I said, how you doing? He said, I got some problems. Some of my kids are doing some crazy stuff. I said, I understand. I've done it too. I said, but Lord, grant them mercy. He said, I will. My mercy endureth forever. He said, can you remind me? You want some of my conversation? He said, remind me of something I said 4,000 years ago. That pleases God. I think you said this. Yeah, I did. Say it again. I said, okay. Does that sound ignorant and stupid? It's childish. Yeah. That's that childlike faith that develops into such power. Stand to your feet. Did you enjoy it tonight? David, play me something soft if you don't mind. Or someone back there if you don't mind. You know why these believers' conventions have been going for, what, 30 years here? Because people care about you. I told a man the other day, I've been doing these now going, this is my 18th year, 17th, 18th year. 17th year. And I saw a person I hadn't seen at the Believers' Convention in quite a while. I said, where have you been? And he said, why? I said, because we care about you. We miss you. And tears swelled up in his eyes. It really did. You don't like us no more? Oh, no, Bridget. That's not true. I've been busy. I said, that long? I said, it was great to see you. I said, I've thought about you several times. Well, you know, I've had a lot of... I said, I understand. I said, just remember this. You'll never be a day without prayer. You have a good day today. We'd like to see you again sometimes. You know, he wrote me a letter and said, I didn't realize how much I miss being around those believers. I said, yeah. Because truly, we do care about you. Now, that's the care, not in terms of being wrong. It's called love. It's more than just words, it's action. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for God so loved the world that he literally asked Jesus, "Would you help me get my kids back?" Jesus said, "I will do that for you, Father, because I love you and I care about what you care about." And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it was so tough, he cast his care upon him. "Not my will, but thine be done." God has always had every one of you people in his mind. He showed you to Abraham. He said, "Look at the stars. That'll be your descendants, the seed of Abraham. I'd like to introduce you to my friend." Oh, Lord, I have a good friend. I enjoy being saved so much. This ministry has taught me how to express. I never could express it. I don't think I ever cried till I got around Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You could cut me with a knife and I'd just look at you. I just didn't know how to say love. Didn't know. Love God. I said it privately to him. Oh, but no one would ever hear that. But this ministry taught me that. I would only let you get so close to me. You hit the wall. I liked you, but that's it. But this ministry began to break down the partition. I began to see action. I'm not a grandfather, but I've watched Jerry Savelle be a grandfather. You good, Jerry. You're the best I've ever seen. I've seen him play with them kids, man. That impressed me. Well, I'm going to be a grandfather. And I said, "You know, I got an example. That taught me something. I don't forget." This family that we have here is wonderful. We'd like you to be a part of it. It's called the family of God, with your head bowed. If you'd like to know God, instead of just knowing about him, you understand? I'm not talking religion here. The world is sick with religion. I'm talking about knowing God instead of just knowing about him. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking relationship, developing into fellowship, never being alone ever again in your life, knowing that if tough times come, you have an Almighty that is there to be with you. I would like to introduce you to my friend. Would you give me that honor? It's called getting saved. It's called being born again. Would you let me introduce you to the person that changed my life for eternity? And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I used to stop there. That's how I was trained as a minister. But the Lord loved so much. He said, "Always take it further." Maybe you are here. You're struggling with Christianity. I guess you would. They've been struggling with it for 2,000 years. Temptations, getting the best of it. You hate it and you want it to stop. It can stop tonight. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, "Lord, here's a person, they're struggling with their Christianity." No, they're not backslidden to hell. No, no. But they're struggling and they want to draw closer. Some people call it rededicate. What a wonderful word, but it's something better than that. It's called selling out. Oh, man, just selling out. Say, "God, let me get to the point that I can no longer recognize myself, because it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me." That's why Paul could say, "I'm in prison, I'm bound with this chain, but the word of God is not bound." Because he couldn't recognize himself anymore. He had been absorbed by who Christ was. It's called in Christ, not in crisis. So with your head bowed, please, as an act of respect to God Almighty and to the people standing by you. if you'd like to know God instead of knowing about Him. It's called getting saved for the first time. Or, be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God, and you're struggling with temptations and things, and you want to come back and draw closer to God so you don't have to struggle in that area anymore. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand up. Yes, I see those hands. Could I see others quickly? Thank you, I see those hands. Thank you, I see those hands. Could I see some more? Yes. Ushers, help me. I got television lights in my eyes. If you're in the balcony up there, God is seeing you. That world is tough out there. They don't care about you. But God loves you. I can't say that enough. Could I see another hand? You want to know God. Or you want, instead of knowing about, thank you, I see your hand. Or you say, but Jesse, I'm not where I should be, and I want to be closer. Could I see another? Come on, quickly. Thank you, I see those hands. Yes, I do. Yes, 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 yes. Way up in that balcony. Yeah, that took some courage to lift that hand. Everyone look at me. I never lied to you. Had too many people lie to me. I don't like people lying to me. I told God, you ever do anything with my life? This is at the very beginning of when we met each other. I'll live this gospel. I didn't know what that meant. I had no training, you know, other than Bible story stuff. I said, but God, I promise you, I'll get close to you like very few people ever have or ever will. You can count on me. You can count on me. And I know I can count on you. And I've lived that since Labor Day weekend 1974. That doesn't mean I hadn't made mistakes. But I tell you what. I know how to repent. I know how to say, Lord, I'm more than sorry. Because sorry means you're going to do it again. Lord, I repent. I turn from. I don't want to hurt your feelings no more. Many of you lifted your hand. That took some integrity. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than that. Why? To stop fear from getting into your spirit. I'm going to ask every one of you, not some of you, but every one of you, because you lifted your hand. You did it. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, get your Bible, your purse, or whatever you brought with you. I'm going to ask you to come forward and stand here and let me pray for you. In front of everybody? Yeah. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. And he wasn't embarrassed because he was hanging on that cross for you. The least you could do is make a statement of your faith. If you lifted your hand, get out of your seat and come. Come on quickly. If you're in the balcony, it'll take maybe 2 minutes to walk down. Get your Bible, your purse, whatever you got. Give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. Come on, give them a hand clap. Just come up in line here. Get rid of the care in your life, the care of sin. Come quickly. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look at the people that are coming. Just come close to me. Come on, people, give them a hand clap. This takes great faith to do this. Come on, give them a hand clap. They're coming all the way from the back to the front. Blessed Savior. Come on, sing it again, Brother Lynn. People, lift your voices to the Lord with Brother Lynn as people make their decisions tonight. I surrender. Gentlemen, come on, one more hand clap as people make their decisions.
I surrender all.
Ooh, glory to God.
Blessed Savior.
I as people are still coming here at the Anaheim Convention Center. You that are watching by television all over the world. You know, I got born again watching Billy Graham. Boston, Massachusetts. Labor Day weekend, 1974, on a Saturday night about 8:45. Right before I went and did a rock show. Thank God that Kathy prayed for me and asked me if I would just watch just a minute or two. The reason why I love television so much, because you see, no one cared for my soul, but Dr. Graham did. The partners of his ministry helped him to preach a crusade. They televised it, and I had the honor of watching it. I got born again watching, just like you're doing. I want you to pray this prayer with us too, because you see, you're here in God's eyes. I'm looking at a camera. You may be looking at a television or a computer screen, whatever. But God sees both of us, and He wants to hear the prayer you pray with these wonderful people. And I'm going to say something. I promise you that God will do what He says. You know, I don't know who you are, but I'll get a chance to meet you. That's one thing I'm going to do, all you people. When we get to heaven, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. That's the only thing I don't like about my ministry. I travel so much, I have to leave all the time. I'd like to get to know people, but I can't because I'm on assignment. But I'm coming. I want to know your dreams, your aspirations. I just like to know you. I'd like you to get to know me. Because I know you got some wonderful things, wonderful stories, great things about you, created in the image of God. And you too watching, we can never forget you. Oh, are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? I'm going to ask everyone in this audience to repeat this prayer. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. You made it! You made it! You made it! You see, when you walked forward, you proved my message. You cast that care. It's the beginning of a great life. Never pick it up again. You'll be tempted. But now you belong to the Lord. And you, my brother and sister. We now have become family. Family. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. This will not take long. 1 minute, maybe at the most two. We're going to take you in the room and pray with you. I want you to go with these people. It won't take long. You got someone that'll love you, and not just by saying it, but it'll show it to you. You'll be blessed. I wish somebody would have done that for me, but they didn't care. And what I mean by care, these people here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries are concerned about you. So I want you to go with them. Let them give you something. Whether it's a first-time salvation, knowing God, or selling out or drawing closer. My brother with both hands up. See this gentleman waving his hand with the Bible in his hand? Look over this way. Walk toward him. They're going to take you right over there and bless you with something, pray with you, and then they'll return you right back to your seats. Would you walk this way, please? Give them a hand clap. Come on, as they go to be loved. Come on, give them a good hand clap. Come on, give them a good one. Oh, glory to God. to God Almighty. Somebody shout in the house. Go right back there. Just right back there. Now, if that's your family and friends, they'll be back in just a minute. Take the person's hand next to you. Normally, in my night, I'll move in the gifts of the Spirit very heavily. But the Lord was dealing with me this because the greatest problem anybody has is care. Because you see, once you don't care about that sickness, it leaves. Once you don't care about that problem, it goes away. Because God immediately takes it. You see, do you understand? That is so simple that it boggles the mind. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you all this sickness and disease. We cast that over onto you. We expect to walk. We expect to breathe. We expect, Lord, not diabetes to be in our lives no more. And, Lord, we expect that when we go to doctors, they confirm this simple prayer. Because we cast this thing away, this debt, this mountain load of pressure, we cast it away right now. Now, Lord, I set myself in agreement that their faith will never be any higher than it is right now, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I decree it today that God, people will feel so light because the burden of care and its byproduct of sickness, disease, poverty is gone. Now lift your hands up as an act of faith and receive your miracle. I decree it and declare it today in Jesus' mighty name. Now give the Lord a standing ovation. He certainly deserves it. He certainly deserves it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout, somebody. Come on, Brother Lynn. Bless these people.